Delighted now to welcome onto the radio Sylvia Olson on her book, Elizabeth May, The Making of an Activist. The book's available on our website, tre.radio. Good afternoon, or should I say good morning to you, Sylvia? Is it morning there?
Good morning, Dave.
How are you today?
I'm fine. It's a beautiful morning.
Beautiful. It's very nice here in southern Spain as well. But it's great to have you on. It really is. And just before we get into the book, Sylvia, for many of us living here, maybe are listening in the United Kingdom or living here in Spain as expats, British people, may not be too aware of Elizabeth May. How would you describe her to somebody who maybe not come across her before?
I would call Elizabeth May a leading world environmental activist. She has played that role on many fronts. In Canada, of course, she's one of our most important environmental activists, her and David Suzuki, who often are seen side by side working on many of our issues here. She's actually an American, but she came to Canada when she was 18 and has been working on issues ever since.
So is she a Canadian citizen now, is she? Or?
She is, yes, for sure.
Okay, so the name isn't as a household name as it would be, obviously, in Canada and maybe the United States, but certainly she's somebody that we can learn so much from. And one of the interesting things I noticed as I was reading about your book here was that you actually wrote this with Elizabeth's daughter.
Did too. I've known Elizabeth for a while. She's really important where I live in Western Canada. And I'm a kids' book writer. I write for young people, youth novels, etc. And so, of course, writing a biography of Elizabeth May as a young person made sense to me. But I actually couldn't find the story. I really couldn't. It wasn't working. And my husband said, "Of course, you're not going to know the real Elizabeth May until you work with Kate." And so that was the answer.
Yeah.
Working with Kate, I really found the young Elizabeth story.
And how did you, I mean, just before you get onto that, we just literally were about 20 minutes ago talking to a person here who's working for the Rotary Club here in Spain, and they're having an activism day where they're going out and collecting plastic from the sea and from the beaches in on the south coast here of Spain on Saturday. And I was just talking about how when I went out on a boat trip with my children a couple of weeks ago, we went out 2 miles out into the Mediterranean Sea and there was plastic floating there. And you as an author for children are probably so aware of how children are feeling about the state of the world right now. Was that something also, as you were putting this book together, kind of those two worlds crossed for you?
They did. I have numbers of grandchildren, and so I can feel the anxiety in the children right now. I wouldn't say these days. I think children feel it in a different way always.
Yeah.
But part of the book was Elizabeth visiting our local school and spending a day and then another visit with the kids in grade 7. And in fact, one of the kids and inspiring them to do some writing, inspiring them to carry on with their activism and inspiring them to think about the environment. And in fact, talking about plastics, two of the young girls did this project, and they called it Plasticide, and that's exactly what they did. It went out, and kids are doing all sorts of things, and Elizabeth is such a great catalyst for that, because she's sort of the grandmother of it all.
Yeah, wow. So how did you get to meet Kate, and how did she take the idea of actually helping you to write this book?
And that's interesting, because I realized that I wasn't getting the story. And the truth I think that I realized is that Elizabeth never was a kid. So getting a kid's story from Elizabeth just wasn't working, because when she was a kid, she was kind of a grown-up. And as a grown-up, looking back at her childhood, she reflected on it as a grown-up. So I couldn't get there. So when I went to ask Kate, I said, "Kate, I can't get..." Actually, I said, "Kate, I'm writing this bio about your mother as a young activist." And Kate said, "Well, I actually don't like what the media does with my mother or anybody else by sort of turning them into these heroes." And I said, "Well, maybe that's exactly the problem I'm having." And so we got on right away. It was like, okay, we're going to be able to write about Elizabeth in a very real way. And Kate was the she vetted it. She wrote some of it. She vetted it, though, to make sure that the real Elizabeth is in this book.
Mm.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was a really, really nice collaboration.
And you actually, you mentioned there's something about her never being a child, because she kind of, from what I can see from the book, she, when others would be going out playing, she was researching.
Exactly. And she was born into it, right? Her mother was an anti-nuclear activist, a really important one, Stephanie May. And then when Elizabeth was 12, she was at the 1968 Democratic Convention down in Chicago getting tear gassed. So that was her 12-year-old experience. So Elizabeth has met world leaders from the time she was a little girl. So yes, she's always been thinking of how to protect the world. It's been her burden since she was a baby, literally.
And what about politics? What's her relationship with politics for us over here who don't know her so well?
Well, right now, well, for a number of years, Elizabeth was the leader of the Federal Green Party here in Canada. It's a tiny party, just like it is probably where you are, but we have three MPs, so we have a pretty active and interesting caucus here in Canada. In BC, we're the western side of Canada, and in our particular riding, we have both our MLA, which is our BC representative, is a Green, and Elizabeth is our representative federally. So we are very, very Green, exactly where I'm standing right now, but we're still fledgling. The Greens are fledgling in Canada. Yeah.
Why is that? I mean, is the Trudeau government is coming up with green ideas as well? Is that for? Are they being influenced in the right way as a government?
So this is a real Sylvia Olson political analysis.
That's okay. Nobody's listening in Canada. You're fine. You'll get away with it.
The Greens feed. They really do. They play a huge role compared to their tiny representation.
Yeah.
So it's very frustrating for the Greens because they can't sort of get bigger, but they play this amazing role. It's a really important role. I say amazing, but a really important role of feeding the bigger parties and leading and pushing and pulling and holding to account and just being a thorn in their flesh as much as two or three can, but they can because when they raise the issues, it shifts, it informs, it does all sorts of things. So I'm not discouraged by how small the Greens are in that sense, because I think as I watch them being really effective in lots of ways.
Yeah, are there any countries? I mean, I'd be interested to get your view of the UK. We hear a lot about the UK news, of course, being British people here. What's your take on the UK's view on green? They seem to be setting some quite ambitious targets.
And that's the good thing about the Greens. They always have ambitious targets.
Yes.
And they work very hard to get them. I don't know. I know you have at least one, maybe a couple in Britain. I think you're probably very much like Canada, where they're vocal, they're ambitious, they're active. They struggle because small political parties are not easy things to operate. They really aren't.
Mm.
They've got all kinds of struggles trying to stay afloat and et cetera. But I think it's the same, and I think you're probably pretty similar.
Yes.
I know New Zealand just had a couple of successes. So,
Okay, we got the big conference in the UK coming up as well this year. As you probably be aware, it's a fascinating book. And also, you mentioned that the book is part biography, of course, talking about Elizabeth May's life, but part blueprint for activists. So that I suppose that crosses over, I suppose, with the biography a little bit, because as you read about her life, that can kind of see, you can see, oh, well, that's something I could maybe do and activate in my life.
That's right, and the resonance with young people is really astounding. And you don't have to hold a placard and go down the road or whatever. There are so many ways for young people to become active. And I often speak to to children, and I know this audience is not likely to be heavily laden with children, but a child's voice is really important right now. And when they speak, we often defer to them and listen, which is a shift around probably from when I was a kid. We didn't even think anybody would listen, but people are listening to children, and their voices are important, and I think this is a book to show that your voice is important, and you really can make a difference. Elizabeth has made lots of difference, even when she was a little girl.
Does Elizabeth still have interest in her homeland? You know, with the fact that, of course, there's a new president now in situ, and the Paris Agreement and so on. Is that something that she's also talks about, or does she focus far more on Canadian side of things?
The Canadian side of things. That's a big enough. She's pressing right now for the Canadian government to strengthen its climate action, and that's a tough enough job. So, I don't hear a lot of, although she's international, she does a lot of international work, but not specifically, or really, she's not really attached to the States in that sense as her birthplace, not so much that I hear.
Is the message coming through? You know, is there any, because we obviously, it's such a, almost apocalyptic message, isn't it? And I suppose it has to be, but it can sometimes feel pretty hopeless. But is there anything to be optimistic about right now for Elizabeth and for you and for all of us?
And hopeless is the last thing that we need children to feel. So us old people, if we feel a bit hopeless, I think that's par for the course. But I think that Kate's voice is very, very clear, because hopelessness is not something that she finds useful in her life.
No.
So in terms of, you know, can people make a difference? Do they need to make a difference? And are they making a difference? I think that that's a pretty positive voice. And the other thing that Elizabeth's message to that is that there is only one antidote to feeling down. And that's doing something.
Yes, absolutely.
So when you're doing something, for young people, the young people that are doing something, you'd think those would be the ones that are down, but those are the ones that are up.
Yes.
So, if you're feeling down, you know, young or old, do something. I think that's standard message.
You'll be pleased to know that this Saturday, we've just had an interview with the person organising it. There's going to be a big beach cleaning operation here in Marbella, and there's going to be kids' activities for them to have education and learn how to, to deal with plastics and to recycle, and all that. The oceans are a cleaner place. That's just, I think, echoes a lot of the sentiment here in Spain right now. But anyway, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate your time with us today, Sylvia.
And, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, and the book's available on our website. It's called Growing Up Elizabeth May, and it's The Making of an Activist, and it's by Sylvia Olson, who we're chatting with now. Thank you, Sylvia, and have a great day there in beautiful Canada. One day I'll come and visit.
You.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.